Good morning. Let's turn to Numbers, chapter 23. We'll return to Balaam. Numbers 23. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here." Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a bare hill. Now God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have set up the 7 altars, and I have offered up a bull and a ram on each altar." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and you shall speak thus." So he turned to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, he and all the leaders of Moab. He took up his discourse and said, "From Aaron Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the tops of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills, behold, a people who dwells apart, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have actually blessed them." And he answered and said, "Must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" Then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place from where you may see them, although you will only see the extreme end of them, and you will not see all of them, and curse them for me from there. So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I myself meet the Lord yonder." Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the leaders of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" Then he took up his discourse and said, "Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he will not. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received the command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like the horns of the wild ox. And for there is no omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel what God has done. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and as a lion it lifts itself. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." Then Balak said to Balaam, "Do not curse them at all, nor bless them at all." But Balaam answered and said to Balak, "Did I not tell you, whatever the Lord speaks, that I must do?" Then Balak said to Balaam, "Please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here." And Balak did just as Balaam had said, and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Amen. So we're going to continue from the last chapter. We had quite an episode with Balak and Balaam. Just as a little review. Balak is a king. He's very afraid of what's going to happen as he sees the Israelites coming through close to his territory. And so he sends for this prophet, Balaam, to come and send a curse to Israel. Well, you know, all these things happen. He's unable to do that. So now he gets to, we get to chapter 23, and you know, the whole episode of the donkey finishes. And so now Balaam comes to Balak and says, "This is what you need to do. You need to prepare 7 altars." Now, Balaam is a really tricky guy. I mean, not tricky in the sense that he's not a deceivous guy, but he's a tricky character for us to analyze. He is a prophet. He hears from God, but he also mixes in his own stuff. For instance, the first thing that he comes out and he presents here, 7 altars. whenever they worshiped the God of Israel, they only had one altar. And so it was evident throughout the Old Testament, there was just one altar that they laid before the Lord. Altars, or these places of worship, are more akin to false gods. And so Balaam, that's what I say, he's a really tricky character. You don't exactly know. He hears from God, and God does speak to him, and these things happen, but yet that there's something a bit off about Balaam. And eventually, I think at chapter 30 or so, he gets killed by the Israelites, actually. And so as he aligns himself with the Midianites. And so there's something really peculiar about him. And I think, you know, I think this is kind of a good reflection on our modern history in some ways. I mean, have you ever met somebody? Have you ever met a very spiritual person? And this person, you know, kind of hears from the Lord. Like their prophecy is fairly accurate. But then there's like something a little bit off. You guys know what I mean? They hear from God in a sense, but just something's just not right. It's just a little bit off. Or there's something about their character, that there's something about the way they do things. It just seems like, you know, in essence, you get a check in your spirit. And that's kind of what Balaam is like. And the only way I can understand Balaam is to understand people that are like this. And you know, having been a part of a charismatic church for a long time, I meet people like this all the time. They certainly hear from God in a sense. They've cultivated a relationship with the Lord in a way that God speaks to them, but yet they're a little bit off. And so you take whatever prophecy or anything kind of with a grain of salt. And that's probably what Paul was dealing with in Corinth. And he's dealing with all these very super spiritual people. But yet, something was missing. And so he had to bring some kind of correction to it. And so he goes and he builds seven altars, which is really more pagan than it is the God of Israel. So they go off. They stand beside the burnt offering. And then here it goes. Here's now the good side of Balaam. Balaam says, okay, I'm only going to speak what God says to me. Now, interesting enough, Balak probably thought that Balaam was going to offer to the God of Baal, but he doesn't. He sets up these seven altars to the God of Israel. And so, which is a bit confusing in itself, right? Like I said, he's a tricky character. It's hard to wrap your brain around this guy, and because he hears from the Lord. And so the Lord, in verse 4, God met Balaam. And so whatever sacrifice or, you know, altar that he created was successful in a sense, because God came down and met with Balaam. And he put the words, in verse 5, he says, put the word in his mouth. And so he said, return and you will speak this. And so he returned. And he begins to speak with them. In verse 7, he says, he took up his discourse, and he said, the discourse, he basically spoke in a parable. So we have the first beginnings of this whole idea of parable that Jesus will later pick up. And he says, from Aram, Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. And then, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the tops of the rocks, I look at him from the hills. Behold, a people who dwells apart should not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob? This phrase was an Eastern phrase that meant that his people were going to be extremely numerous. And so this idea, let's see. Who can cut the dust or number the fourth part of Israel? Remember, Israel was divided up into four divisions. You remember the whole march and the camp, and the center was the temple, or not, well, the tent of meeting, and the four divisions. And by this time, 38 years or so, Israel has grown tremendously on one side. And so he says, even you can't even number a part of the four. And so they've been prosperous in the wilderness as they get ready to go into the promised land, even after they left Egypt, about 2 million, and they've grown tremendously. And he says, you can't even count even one part of the fourth. And he says, let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And what this means is the death of the upright, it's an idiom, and it's basically talking about, you know, basically, I'm not afraid to die. I have no issues because I know who this God is. I know that that He is the God of all gods, and that there is hope in, you know, in their resurrection with Him. And so I'm going to die the death of an upright person. In other words, I'm going to go to my grave with my head held high, knowing that I'm going to meet this Maker who's going to take care of me. And so so Balak turns to him and says, what? I ask you to curse them, and what do? You bless them instead. And because, again, these people are protected by the Lord. No matter what you try to do, God's hand is on these people. And so Balak goes, okay. All right, let me take you somewhere else. Let me give you another view. So he takes him to a hill, and now he's going to see the outskirts of the people. Remember, if you remember from other chapters, the outskirts are where kind of all the renegades and all the complainers, and right, they're all kind of on the outskirts. So a lot of the half Egyptians were there. This is where, when you look through the text, a lot of the complaining, a lot of the murmuring is actually coming from the outskirts and it's moving in. And so maybe Balak thinks, okay, you may be an upright guy, but let me show you kind of the ends of the people of Israel, you know, the lower class, and then maybe you'll curse them if you see this part of them. And so he goes up, and God speaks to him again, and then he brings back an even greater blessing for them. And now he got these depictions of animals, and if you see there, he says, there is no omen against Jacob. Verse 20, he has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. God brings them out of Egypt. He is like for them the horns of a wild ox. But basically, that's a rhinoceros, if you're a bit confused. It's funny, some of the old translations use the word unicorn. And so, it's kind of weird, but they're talking about a rhinoceros, okay? And so he's basically saying that they are being totally protected by this God. And in fact, the second prophecy, the second parable, says that Israel, these guys are doing fine. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no reason for God to pull his favor and protection over Israel. And so he blesses them again. And so Balak, I mean, this guy is one really, you know, persistent guy, but he's also a funny guy. Verse 25 says, do not curse them at all, nor bless them at all. And so he's kind of getting really frustrated at this stage. And so then he takes him up to another hill, and he's thinking, oh, if I take you up here, and this actually overlooks the wasteland. And so basically says, okay, build 7 altars and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And then tomorrow we'll get to chapter 24, and it's the third parable, and it's also another blessing. And then they decide to part ways. And so we'll get to that before we hit our Chinese New Year break. And so, I mean, so what can we surmise from chapter 23? What are the kind of the takeaways from this? You know, and really the one really simple one that we look at is really the incredible protection of God over his people. I mean, here's this guy that was sent to curse the people of Israel, and instead what happens? God blesses them. Isn't that interesting? Right? Isn't it reminiscent of a verse that says, with the enemy, right, desire for evil, God turned to good, when he's talking about Joseph? And when you're under the protection of God, when you're under the covering of the Lord, and part of that too is that you are walking uprightly. Remember that the second parable, he says, yeah, I have not observed any misfortune in Jacob. And so there's a part of that, that as we live uprightly before the Lord, even more so, of God's favor and protection comes over us. And with that, even when people want to curse us, even when people want to bring harm into our way, because we're under the protection of Father God, it turns into a blessing. It's quite amazing, God's providence over these typical situations. You know, whatever happens in our life, the enemy creates harm, creates division, creates an environment of pain and these type of things. But because we're under the umbrella of the Lord, somehow God turns it for good. There's a really powerful word in the Bible and simply called redemption. That's what it's about. That's really the theme of the whole Bible. God redeems. And so the enemy sets a course for us for difficulty, sets a course for us for evil. And what God does, he redeems the situation and he turns it for good. And wonderful things flow out of that place when we're under the protection and the grace and the guidance of God. And as a follower of Christ, you step into this automatically, no matter what happens here. And God just blesses. I mean, you know, verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel, even the last part, right? Who can even number that? He says, let me die, let my soul die, the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And it's the blessing of the Lord, full of hope, full of triumph, full of victory. No matter how the journey may have started, right, this is God's grace, his protection over his people. Amen? So let's close our eyes. And we could probably all relate to this in some way. We've all had experiences in our life. We've all had things where the enemy has come to devour and destroy. But you went through it. Right, going all the way back to Psalm 23, you went through the valley of the shadow of death. And the resulting of that is you fear no evil. You know that God, to the psalmist, his rod and his staff, they're with you. But God is with you. And you look upon those moments with kind of more fond memories instead of with pain because of the redemptive work of Christ Jesus. You may be going through a season right now of pain, difficulty, or trouble. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What the enemy created and brought into our lives for evil, God will turn to good. This is our hope that we have in him. No matter anyone want to curse you, it's impossible when God is in charge. And God will turn those curses into blessings. And so if you're going through that type of season today, let's surrender to Jesus. Oh, let's absolutely surrender that to the Lord and watch God work in the midst of us.
Thank you.
Some time, and like I said earlier, if you are going through one of these seasons of testing, of difficulty, let's continue to pray God's protection, that He's going to turn that into a blessing. Maybe it's not you, maybe you know someone in your house church, in your family. Let's cover them right now. Pray that they would live uprightly, that there would be no reason for any curse. And pray for God's protection, His covering, His grace to just fall on our friends and family members. And that God, in due time, will redeem the situation. Let's lift up. Battling cancer. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray for God's healing word over their therapies and recovering from surgeries. Let's just continue the warfare on their behalf. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's pray over our community that's battling non-cancer related illness. And let's pray for God's healing. Looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Continue to pray for revival in the city and especially in the churches. Let's pray for our friends at Sports Services. Like I mentioned, they're trying to find a place to have a community center. And so let's ask for God's provision and the proper location. Let's pray for Godwin and Shanti. Pray for Master's Beauty, sons and daughters. They're also looking for a place to have a center for women to drop by. Pray for God's provision and location for that as well. Pray for Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Green Church. And let's lift up our friends and our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask for God's protection over each of our work, over our families. Let's pray for wisdom as we do our work and diligence. And let's pray Holy Spirit would just really lead our staff to really build His church, to impact His kingdom. For our worship sound and media teams, and let's pray for a real heart of worship and just the heart to really serve and really be excellent in what they do. The worship teams, they would be worshiping the Lord on their own. The sound and media teams would also be attentive to their craft, and that would really bless the church in their service. Let's lift up. Pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for a real spirit of creativity and pray for the spread, our newsletter that should be coming out pretty soon. Pray for the team to continue to be united in vision and just really lead and guide us in our arts initiatives. Let's lift up. Lastly, let's pray for the house churches. Most of the house churches are taking a break this week, but some are meeting together and some are doing fellowship events, and let's just cover them regardless. Pray for Bonham, EastEnders, Cornhill, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak Road. You know, either they're meeting for house church or for fellowship or just taking a break. Let's just cover them, cover the leaders, ask for God's hand to be upon them. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your protection, God. Lord, no matter what the enemy throws our way, God, you turn it to good. You cause all things to work for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. And so help us, God, to live upright lives, God, that there will be no reason, Lord, for the enemy to come. And Lord, even as Jesus said, the enemy has nothing in me, Father God. Let us be able to utter those same words in our life, Father, and just really relying on the hope, God, of who you are in our lives, Lord. We just thank you. Watch over us. Watch over our friends, our church family, especially many of them are away, God, for Chinese New Year. Help them to really celebrate you through their families, God, and really connect and be able to experience your love, Lord, and their families, God. We thank you. Lord, watch over us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last EMP for this week, okay?